Welcome, Luke, to K True Sports Against the Grain. I am joined by my colleague here, Chloe, as we get an interview with Rice's own and the Commander's own Luke McCaffrey. Not only isn't he an academic weapon, both at Nebraska and Rice, but he did win the George Martin Award, which I believe was a team MVP 2 years in a row, right? Team captained in his final year at Rice, all AAC first team. He got a Senior Bowl selection, and he is top five all-time for touchdowns at Rice, top 10 in the conference's history. Pretty darn impressive. He was recently drafted 100th overall to the fan-favorite Washington Commanders as the team looks to build on a strong year after this past year. Luke, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. That was a little too generous, especially the academic weapon. But I'm doing well. It's fun to kind of get to enjoy an off-season for once. And you know, after your last season in college, just going to the combine and having the Senior Bowl and everything, there's so much that you don't really get an off season. But it's nice to, I mean, it was nice to take a little break, and then it's nice to just be able to train and enjoy the down part of that. And so it's been fun.
Is there anything, you mentioned training, is there anything that you're specifically working on as you're ramping up towards the season, or nothing too specific?
Yeah, I think everyone lays their off season out a little different. But generally it follows, you know, the first month you're just trying to get bigger, stronger, and faster. So it's, you're in the weight room, probably more than you're on the field at this point, because you don't need to be in perfect shape yet, but you're just trying to kind of build who you are as an athlete. You know, it's not as much football stuff. And then you slowly the second month get into track stuff and turn that new strength and new kind of body into power and acceleration, so that you're faster and you're quicker. And then right now is actually the time when we start introducing a little more sports specific stuff. And so we get into, you know, running routes, catching. And then I just got to DC actually this weekend, and now we'll be in OTAs, which are just off season training activities. So this is where now we're with the team. We're doing, you know, the first 2 weeks are still just workouts and meetings, and then we'll slowly escalate to more practice-like stuff by the end of May, early June.
Neat. Yeah, like you said, like that's got to be super different from last year when you were dealing with draft stuff and, you know, sort of working on the position, right? Like, and now we're entering the week of the draft, and it's like, what was going through your mind, man? Like going into draft week, and, you know, is do you sort of look back on that like with some nostalgia, or do you look back and think, man, you know, I'm glad that part of, you know, my career is through, and I'm just ready, you said, just continue working and, you know, growing as an athlete?
Yeah, I think it's so weird looking back, because that whole year happened so fast. You think you have all this time, but you really have a month and a half to get ready for the combine, and then the draft comes right after. And so I'm so curious that there'll be another draft. I was just so locked into last year that I knew probably every player at every position just through passing. You know, you spend so much time on it that it's so funny you look back this year and you realize, I don't even know most of the guys. Like, you know the guys that are on the news that you hear, but it's not like I'm looking as in depth to every position and who teams like and all that, even though the news usually skews it from whatever the actual perspective of everyone is. And so it's kind of fun to just look at it from a fan and be able to just embrace it and have fun.
That makes sense. When you were kind of going through that draft process, like you were saying, you were super tuned into, you know, all the potential players that were going to get drafted, where you might go. Did you kind of think, okay, Washington might be the landing spot, or kind of have an idea of where you were going to go?
So Washington was such a unique one, because they didn't have an owner. They didn't have a head coach. They didn't have a GM. They didn't have all the people who make decisions through the whole process. And so I may have met with an old analyst who wasn't even there, because there was just a staff change. And I remember I asked them, I was like, oh, like, how do you see me fitting in there? And their scout was nice about it. He could have been meaner, but he just kind of looked at me and goes, you know that we don't have an offense or a team or anything right now, right? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that's fair. I probably should have thought about that one before this interview. And so, not that they weren't on your radar, you never know what's going to happen, especially I think at the first 10 picks, you have a pretty solid understanding of where guys are going to go. But once you get down to, you know, rounds 2, 3 and beyond, it's kind of the Wild West. So I had no idea where I was going to go, but it's such a cool fit. And I think having that new staff, that new ownership, and the new leadership is so, so cool. It's such a unique experience to come in as a rookie, because you got to kind of get to embrace it and kind of be a part of the foundation, the building blocks. And it's been so cool from year one. And I can't wait to kind of be a vet, not a true old vet, but be somebody who's been through it before and now can kind of help, you know, continue to establish that culture.
It has changed quickly there. All of a sudden you go from being the rookie to the vet very quickly in the NFL.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
No, it's gotta be, I mean, we could just get like right into then, like, so draft process happens, this crazy whirlwind of events, and then you're right into it. So like, how was rookie mini camp for you? Just like, I guess leading into the regular season, how was that just rookie experience, you know, the transition? What were maybe some that the common fan may not know about what it's like for a rookie to fit into a new environment? Like, what do you have to say about that?
No, I thought it was a cool experience. I thought it was fun. I mean, being able to just go through that. And I think every moment you kind of sit in there at some point and just in awe that you're there, you know, whether it's your first week in the facility, whether it's your first preseason game, you just kind of look around and you're like, holy cow, right? It's nuts. And so I think that's so fun, because you get to experience everything for the first time going, and now your second year, it's cool because you have that under control a bit, and now you can really dive in and focus on what you need to do. But I think that rookie year is so special, because you have that, and then you have vets in your locker room. Like, we were lucky, we had Bobby Wagner, Marcus Mariota, Zach Ertz, all these guys who you've been watching your whole life that you know, you looked up to, and you watched tape. You know, I've been watching Terry McLaurin cut up since I switched to receiver 3 years ago. And so just to be able to kind of be in person and now learn and build off of what their knowledge and experiences already are is so cool. And I think that was the biggest blessing of rookie year, is you just get to embrace everything. And then once you get to the offseason, you kind of paint the picture of how you want to go forward and what you want to build yourself into.
So some of us sport managers may be at Rice, like we'll go to like the NFL honors or something, and then just be like the best players and think like, I can't believe I'm here. And I can't even imagine, like, for you as the athlete, these guys are your teammates. Like, that's got to be like, you know, I imagine like expectations sort of build up, because, you know, you watch as a fan, you watch as an athlete as well. And then you snap of the finger and you're sharing the same locker room, which must be crazy. Who are some of the people? And obviously, you know, people know the big names, and it might just, and you know, your Bobby Wagner's, your Marcus Mariota's, people like that. But who are some players, maybe coaches even, that like made that like first impression on you, like whether it was like in the first couple of weeks or like just throughout the season, that made you think like, you know, these guys, you know, have got to go in the right way, or something just like that you could like take from them and be like, this is.
I think, you know, first off, my receiver coach, his name is Bobby Ingram. He was a great, great player, played, you know, double digit years, multiple 1,000-yard seasons as a receiver. And I think being able to have a guy like that who's been in my shoes and has played the game at a high level is special. That's something that not every room has, you know, not every team has that. And the way that he approaches the game was something that I really not just built off of, but I looked up to that almost immediately from when I met him. So I was thankful to have sort of that guide throughout my rookie year and throughout kind of everything from technique to mindset to building that, and then to have that foundation with him, and then it bleed off into other people, just being able to watch film with guys like Marcus, being able to ask questions and bounce ideas off, you know, Terry and other guys on the team was cool, because they were all so welcoming and accepting. And it was cool because I think a lot of them are established, where that was one of the biggest blessings of, you know, Jaden Daniels and I came in together, where he's a rookie quarterback, which you don't have all too often on teams, right? And so to be coming in sort of on the same foot was really cool from that. And then to see just, you know, he's a couple years older even than me. And so just to see the maturity that he brought and then the approach that he brings to the game was cool to just be able to be a part of that, you know, to be able to not just witness it, but take things and learn things from the demeanor, the approach. And then when you get on the field to the actual skill set and the technique and the style of play was, it was cool to have all those different resources and have them welcoming. You know, you don't always go to a locker room where guys are open to that. A lot of times you see, you know, competitive, combative personalities and a lot of egos just because the nature of the game. And I don't even blame people for having that idea, but as a rookie, it was special to have those guys. I remember Olamide Zaccheaus, one of the receivers on our team too. He was just such a friend to me, such a, almost like an older brother when I was in the building. And so just to have that aspect is so rare, especially in professional sports. And so I'm just thankful for that opportunity. And it got me excited for hopefully when I'm, you know, 7 more years in that I can do that to somebody at some point just to repay the favor that they gave to me.
Yeah, to pay it forward is kind of a big honor almost to get to bestow upon someone because it does make a huge difference. And I think it's interesting.
Definitely.
When you talk about the Commanders, because like we talked about in the beginning, new coaching staff, you know, new quarterback, big rookie draft class that made an immediate impact. And then you also have a lot of veterans that are helping provide perspective and helping set an example to lead the culture change. So I guess, yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like you guys kind of found like the secret sauce or combo with the influx there, or yeah, what's kind of your perspective?
Yeah, I think that's it exactly. They did such a cool job of building the roster, and I'm pretty sure this was on purpose, but if not, it was such a lucky thing to just have, you know, that big rookie class with a lot of guys, and then to have a bunch of vets who are so established, you know, to have those guys who are maybe older, but they have the experience, they have the leadership, they've been to big games, they've played in Super Bowls. And so just to have that balance was cool. I saw it not just with myself, but with every rookie on the team, just the benefit that they had of being able to reach out and ask questions to those guys, to learn from them and to see that as the approach that you want to take, you know, to do what's best for the team and grow from that. And I thought that was a big part of what built our culture. And I think going into year two, it's going to be cool now that all those rookies are older, you know, all those rookies have a year under their belt, have an off season to get bigger, stronger, faster now, and then take what they learned from last year and approach it to OTAs and all that.
So I guess something that we haven't really discussed yet is the fact that, I mean, hey, rookie year, first year playoff, like playoff team, like playoff year. That's not something a lot of players get, you know, in their first year coming to the league. How was that like? It must have been like electric. I know like Detroit, I know they get super loud in there. Eagles, obviously, they have super passionate fan base. But how was it like, especially on the road, being in the playoffs as a rookie?
I thought it was a blast. I thought some of those games are the most fun you'll ever play. And I'm a rookie, so I probably didn't appreciate it as much as a lot of other guys. But I think when you can feed off the emotions and just you understand the importance when you see guys who played a long time and never played in those games. And just to see how valuable and important and special it is when you do that. Because as a rookie, you're probably a little spoiled. You know, I never had to go through a year or two where I wasn't in the playoffs. And so I didn't know much of a difference. I remember at one point I'm sitting there, like, I just realized a couple of my other buddies are on different teams or on vacation right now, you know, they're doing something else. And so it was funny to me because I didn't realize that. I just kind of got to approach it as another week, which in itself is cool and special, but it was really cool to just see the emotions and the care that people have, that they understand just the level of sacredness that it has, right? Just the special moments that you get in big games like that.
Does it make you that much more hungry to get back?
Definitely. Yeah, I think when you get close, it's hard because, you know, you see how talented and how capable you guys are as a team. And so I think that was what this offseason was kind of emphasized of just, hey, how do you make yourself that much better so that, you know, you can take the leap you need to finish the job.
Yeah. So obviously one of those pieces was Deebo Samuels, who came in a huge offseason mm-hmm. trade. I guess kind of what was your reaction to that news?
I thought it was awesome. I thought free agency in general was cool for us to go through. Because we picked up so many different pieces, but him specifically, I just think he fits our offense so well. I mean, I'm not the one scheming or calling plays. That's not my job, but I think it's just so clear to see the vision that you could have for him in our offense, just the way that we have so much creativity, the way that we get the ball in guys' hands and kind of let them play and be free in open space. I think those are just things that highlight what he's good at. And I think it's cool to just hear the perspective of my brother who played with him too, of just, you know, what a guy he is. And so I'm so excited. I think that's a sweet addition for our team, just as a scheme fit and as a personality fit. And I think he's hungry and ready too. And I'm excited. I haven't been with him yet, so I can't speak on that, but I think it's cool how it's so easy to see the vision. You know, it's not hard. You don't have to get two in your head about, oh, how's he going to fit in? It's like, oh yeah, you know exactly how he's going to fit in and yeah, he's going to be able to highlight what he's good at, and it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I imagine Christian had a, you know, when that move happened, you and Christian were talking about it, and like you said, he had mm-hmm. a good news to share. So that's got to be, you know, pretty darn exciting, especially yeah. already having a veteran and proven veteran, you know, at that, like Terry McCoy yeah. there. So a yeah. pretty exciting offseason for the Commanders offense for sure. I'm excited to see how y'all all like put it together, because it's going to be pretty dope.
For sure. Yeah. I'm excited.
I guess I'll just add on to that. Last year, PFF graded you as one of the best players in the league at creating separation. So on over 70% mm-hmm. of your routes, you were able to beat the defense, get separation. So kind of, yeah, when you add in a piece like Deebo to Terry McLaurin, you imagine that there's going to be, you know, even more space and potentially opportunities for you to operate in there.
Yeah, I mean, you hope so. I think it's so cool as a yeah. player. You want to keep playing and you want the ball and you want all that. But I think it's so fun to just really dive into the process. I think that's something that talking to Bobby Engram last year was so special, of just the way that he approaches it, to where you always have something. Whether you're coming off a good game, whether you're coming off a bad game, there's always just tangible things that you can get better at. There's always something that you can work on and grow from and learn from. And so I think that was something that was cool to see. Hopefully at the beginning of the year, I was a worse player than I was at the end of the year, you know, and hopefully I'm going to be better walking into OTAs and better by the time I get out. And I think that process is just so fun to dive into. And that's what, I mean, for me, that's what makes me fall in love with the game. You know, that's what kind of drives me. That's the passion that I like, that keeps me coming back. And so I think it was fun to do that a rookie year. I think you're a little bit of a chicken with your head cut off your rookie year, because you're trying to do so many different things, where now at school you kind of have tangible points and aspects that you know you can grow from. And that's what I think I'm so excited for, getting into OTAs and then into the summer and then as we start the season.
Yeah, I mean, growth and, you know, hunger for the next year reminds me a lot of our intramural soccer team at Hanson. But I completely see that. And I'm sure anybody who is trying to like master their craft, like just like at anything, would share that same sentiment. So it's mm-hmm. great that that's the mentality yeah. going here, because I mean, that's the only way to do it, right? It's like, you know, I'm here right now. Yeah. How do I, you know, so especially being part yeah. of a team special, that's pretty great. We mentioned him briefly, and you've probably answered questions about this, you know, for ages, but it's probably good to cover, you know, just a little bit of it. So football family, you know, the McCaffreys are a football family, you know, mm-hmm. known. Did you feel like it was an advantage, like growing up, you know, having, you know, I imagine like the backyard football competition with your brother and, you know, your dad, and like, what was that like?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was spoiled. I had just the biggest blessing in the world. I think similar to how I talk about just the resources your rookie year, the people that I had in the building, it was similar to have that when you're a kid, right? And that's probably even more rare than having, you know, the building that we had last year, just being able to have a blessing that you didn't do anything to earn. You know, it just happened to be that, you know, we were all passionate about the same thing, and that I was the youngest, so I had a lot of people that I could watch do it, and that I got to learn from, and I got to hear stories about, and that I got to compete against, you know. And so to have that from day one was something that was just a gift. It was nothing that there was anything that I did to deserve that, but I'm so thankful I did, because I think it enhanced that passionate feeling, you know. It enhanced the ability to just love and understand what it takes and what it's like, and kind of the effort, the attitude, and the mentality that you have to bring to be successful, not just in sports, but in anything. You know, our parents had a rule growing up that I loved, which was you had to do something. So it was like fall, winter, spring, summer. You didn't have to do a sport. You didn't have to do something, but whether it was, you know, football, whether it was an academic camp, whether it was something in, you know, musical theater or learn an instrument, it was every season you had to stay busy. And I think that allowed us to free our time to pick something that we were passionate about, you know, and it was cool that we all picked sports and then kind of got to grow and learn off each other.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Yeah, because I feel like it's a tough one. It's like something you can't really avoid talking about, but also I'm sure you get asked that almost every time we interview. We just wanted to touch on it, but we won't spend too long on it.
I don't mind. I like talking about it because I think it is kind of a unique perspective. But yeah,
I guess real quickly while we're on the subject, what is your favorite other football family?
Oh, I was the biggest Peyton Manning fan growing up, and back to when he was on the Colts, and then when he came to Denver, it only enhanced that because I'm from Denver originally. And so I loved Peyton Manning. I think that whole Colts roster, I can go down the list and name just about every player. It's for sure the Mannings.
Yeah. I will say, when they started doing Manning casts on ESPN, I like that thing took off. That was so awesome to get to watch. You get to see how their minds work, and cool thing.
Yeah.
Maybe have a lot of McCaffrey cast in like 20 years.
Who knows? Yeah, let's get it going. Yeah.
Yeah, because you got the St. Brown brothers doing a podcast now. Yeah. Has anything like that been proposed to you and Christian?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Okay. I don't know we're a little bit more bland. We're a little bit more bland than all those guys. We got to get a personality before we do something like that. But it would be fun for sure.
Yeah, I think you're just fine in the personality department. So
yeah, or you know one of those commercials together. You know, with your Oscar, you know, Oscar worthy talent, right? You know, you could off one another. All right. And then Rice, you know, you didn't spend, you know, all four of your college at Rice, but, you know, you spent your last 2 years there. Right. And, you know, I imagine there was a transition from Nebraska to Rice, but I guess sort of going back to the transition from Rice to the NFL, or just to like, I guess your pro career, whether it was like on or off the field, what would you say was the lesson that you took from your time at Rice, you know, going into?
Yeah, I think how I talk about it, you know, at Nebraska, I was a kid. And when I got to Rice, I really think I was forced to grow up. And I think that's because there's so many people who are so great and so special at Rice, and just being able to see and be influenced by the people around. I think for me, not just was it motivating, but it kind of brought to light just a bunch of people who are maximizing their potential and who are so passionate about having an impact on the world. And I think for me, that was where it kind of touched me to mature in a lot of ways. And I think maybe that's a mix of being in a city, mixed with being with a lot of people who have high standards, who, you know, love something, you know, because I think when you get to it, whether you're an engineer or whether you're in sport management. I think everybody at Rice has some level of what they want to do. And for me, it just created a sense of needing to define that and figure out who I wanted to be, how that could move forward, and how, you know, personally I wanted to impact the world. And then just to dive into the school and just see the resources and see the different ways that people do that, and to just kind of love that in a weird way, you know. And so I'm so thankful for Rice. And then, you know, when you get into the football team, I think Coach Bloomgren at the time was so fundamental for me, just as somebody who helped me, between him, Marcus Tuiasosopo, who was our offensive coordinator, and then, you know, Coach Mike Kershaw, who was our receiver coach. All of those three really kind of helped shape me coming to a grip of understanding who I am, who I wanted to be, and what it'll take to get to kind of start the journey to become who you want to be. Not saying I'm there now, but to at least see that vision. And so I'm so thankful for Rice, and I'm so thankful for all the people that you meet at Rice, you know, whether they're athletes or not. I think it was such a special opportunity to just be around a lot of incredible people.
They need to get you on the admissions brochure or something, because that was beautiful.
Yeah, they'd eat that up over there, right? Yeah. Put that on
the Yeah. I'd probably have a couple of voicemails from them that I haven't answered.
Exactly. Just wait till this thing leaks. Yeah, your phone's gonna be blown up.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, Luke, we don't want to keep you for too long. Thanks again for all the time you've invested, not only into this interview, but in helping us plan this. You've been super flexible. So we wanted to thank you for that. But before we let you go, we had a couple of, you know, quick fire questions, a bit, you know, less, you know, interview format, and get you on your way. How does that sound?
Yeah, sweet. Sounds good.
All right. So let's see. We've got a little bit of this or that, you know, just a couple of, you got to choose one or the other questions. So we'll start it off softball. Let's go beach or mountain. I assume this is like vacation, you know.
Mountains. Yeah.
I guess being from Denver, right? You know?
Yeah,
being from Colorado. I mean, I could have gone to the beach. I went to Banff, Canada, where it's negative 20 degrees for vacation this year.
Yeah. So, there we go.
Mountains for sure. Snowboard? What's your choice?
I can't say that, but I do like to snowboard. It's a little dangerous, so not as much. I'm not that into it, but I like to snowboard it.
got it. Okay. Now DC or Houston. Now avoid the bias. H-Town's pretty great. Don't forget where you came from.
I think Houston for the people.
Hey.
And then I think since I've been in DC, there have been certain places that I've just grown to love, like walking through Georgetown, walking through Capitol Hill. It's special. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but if you ever can just walk through Georgetown for 2 hours, it's one of the coolest places for me, just aesthetically and the vibe and everything that it has going. So DC for that. But I think I have so many relationships in Houston that that's kind of what made me like that. And that's what I look back on from my time there.
Awesome. Okay. We promise not to get you in trouble with this question. Quarterback or wide receiver? Because you know.
Oh, receiver.
There we go. Yeah, receiver. Yeah, you know, because, if you say quarterback, I don't know, Jaden may have to watch out, man.
No, I think he's doing all right. I got fired from quarterback a long time ago. Yeah. But, I like the freedom that you have at receiver. You know, it's so creative, and you just have an ability to kind of – it's like an art form more so than it is like a math problem. And that's just, I think, where my brain gravitates, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is a free
some trick plays coming up.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do it. I think we had one in last year, and in practice I missed the throw, so we took it out. I got that play cut out, but maybe we'll try again sometime this year.
This is sort of an on the whim question, but I'm curious. For you as a receiver, what kind of catch do you prefer, the toe drag toe drag catch on the sideline or a one-handed catch? Both highlight reel worthy.
I always like the one-handed catches. I don't know. I think as a fan, those are just fun to see. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, good answer. And then final one for this or that. We hate to do it to you. You can abstain, which is totally fine. Cowboys or Eagles?
Yeah.
Yuck, man. Oh,
I can't answer that. I can't answer that at all. Neither of them.
Good.
Neither of them at all. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, just final two things. So, you know, I know you mentioned that you weren't really looking into the draft as much this year, you know, just naturally not being part of the process anymore. Three quick things. One, do you have a player you have your eye on in this incoming draft class? Two, if you had to give just a couple words of advice to anybody, you know, going through this process right now, what would it be? And then three, you don't have the schedule yet, but which opponent are you most looking forward to playing this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think starting one, I haven't watched enough of the draft to really dive into somebody. I like watching all the quarterbacks just because it's always the big ticket item to see where they go. And I think it's a good quarterback class. And so it's kind of fun to watch, especially kind of those top 3 to 5 guys and just figure out where they go, just because it's such an impactful position. And honestly, we know we have our quarterback, and so it's not impactful for our team as much that I can actually just watch it as a fan and not be like, oh, like, I wonder who we're going to get, how it's going to affect us. Right. And so it's fun to kind of go through the quarterbacks this year and just look at that. I don't think I have a favorite right now. I haven't watched enough of them to actually pick one person. But then second one, I think just advice that I kind of have for people would be enjoy it. I think it's so easy and you have to be so locked in that sometimes you forget to look up and kind of just say, oh, like I talked about how it hits you every once in a while, but I think it's so cool to just embrace, you know, a lot went in to get there and so many people probably had impacted you if you're making it to this level, and to just appreciate those people, make sure they know how thankful you are for them, and just enjoy every moment as it comes, because I think that's how you ultimately get to have growth and continue to get better and just play free. And then what was the third one? I think.
Yeah. Just opponent.
I just think there's something special about conference games, divisional games. And so I think playing Philly, playing Dallas, playing the Giants, I think between those three games is just, there's something different in the air when you have those, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, the rivalry games, those are just the best.
Exactly. It's cool. You can just feel it, you know, it means more.
Well, Luke, thank you so much for chatting with us today. We so appreciate it, giving back to your small school of 2 years. So, yeah, it goes a long way for us, and kind of as we're getting started with the radio show, it makes a big difference. So thank you.
No, thank you. This was sweet. I'm so happy that someone's doing this. I feel like somebody needs to, and it's been needed. And so it's cool. If you guys need help with anything else, let me know.
Yeah, if you're ever in town, please let us know. Hit us up. We're always available to make something happen.
Sweet. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. With that, I guess that'll do it for this interview. Thank you all for tuning in.
You can listen to us every Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on KTRU 96.1 FM, or stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for KTRU Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To stay in the loop, go ahead and follow us at KTRU.sports on Instagram and at KTRU Sports on TikTok. We've always got exciting stuff in the works, and we don't want you to miss out. If you have a question for the staff, please feel free to DM us on either of those platforms or drop a note to ktruesports@gmail.com. We want to know what you want to know so we can answer it on the air. That'll do it for us today. Have a great weekend. Bye.